At this time, it's 8:31 a.m. on September 18, 2019, and I call the meeting of the Complaint Screening Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychology Examiners in order.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Donaldson?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. The Complaint Screening Committee, pursuant to ARS 32-2081H, may dismiss the complaints appearing on this agenda or refer them to the full board for consideration and action. Complaints dismissed by the committee shall not be disclosed in response to a telephone inquiry or placed on the board's website pursuant to ARS 32-2081H1. Upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the committee may go into executive session on any item on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to review confidential records, or A3 to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. For those in attendance, please be aware that the chair reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda based upon a party's present and request to speak. A person or a representative of a person who has filed or received a complaint and who is present may make a brief statement to the committee by filling out a request to speak form and giving to the board staff person. The committee may also have questions for those who speak. Please use only initials for patients or children. Be aware that the content of many records involved in these complaints is confidential and the content should not be discussed in a public meeting. And be advised that the committee will go into executive session to discuss any confidential records. First complaint is number 20-06 for Catherine Sislak. Dr. Meyer is the lead member. Dr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The summary of the complaint is as follows. Dr. Sislak presently works at Banner University Medical Center in Tucson, Arizona. She is the director for the transplant psychology program at UMC. On July 30th, 2019, the board office received information from an anonymous source that Dr. Sislak may be misrepresenting her credentials. The anonymous source submitted pictures of Dr. Sislak's employee badge at UMC. The front of the badge lists Dr. Sislak's credentials as MD, and the word physician is located at the bottom of the badge. Dr. Sislak is not a licensed physician or medical doctor. Dr. Sislak's complaint response was submitted in a timely manner. She represents that her employment badge was prepared in error by Banner Security Department at UMC. The badge had an MD designation after Dr. Sislak's name, and the word physician was at the bottom of the badge. Dr. Sislak indicates that she noticed the error on her badge and contacted the security department about it previously. She was informed by the security department that they did not have a category for psychologists and defaulted to the physician credential as a result. A provider could not request a specific credential. The security department had a list of provider types that they referred to when printing a badge. Prior to receiving this complaint, Dr. Sislak would turn her badge over and avoid showing it. Since the filing of this complaint, Dr. Sislak and other psychologists at UMC have joined as a group and pushed for correction of the badges. The attached correspondence reflects that Dr. Sislak and other psychologists are being issued corrected badges. Dr. Sislak provided a copy of her new badge, as well as a picture of a lab coat with her name and accurate credentials on it. And Dr. Sislak requests that the complaint be dismissed.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. Dr. Sislak here or on the phone?
On the phone with her attorney.
Dr. Sislak, I am. Would you like to make any comment?
Yes.
Yes, can I just make my appearance? This is Dr. Akins, counsel for Dr. Sislak, and she's wanting to make a statement, so I'll yield the floor to her.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I want to thank the board for this opportunity to address the anonymous complaint that was filed against me. I would like to give you a snapshot of my professional history. I have been a practicing clinical psychologist in the state of Arizona for over 40 years and continuously worked at the University of Arizona College of Medicine. I am a tenured full professor in family and community medicine, psychiatry, and psychology, and currently direct the Banner UAMC MedPsych Solid Organ Transplant Program. I also direct the Behavioral Health Clinic in the Department of Psychology at the University of Arizona, as well as directing the Behavioral Medicine Consortium at the U of A Cancer Center and Transplant Programs, which serves as an externship training program for clinical psychology graduate students in the health psychology track. I currently supervise 9 graduate students in this consortium. Of note, over the 40 years I have been practicing, I have never had a single patient complaint or board complaint, and pride myself in adhering to the highest standards of ethical conduct and practice within my field. I am glad to have this opportunity to explain to you the circumstances behind the complaint. This complaint alleged that I misrepresented my professional credentials because I reluctantly wore an ID badge that I was issued by the Banner Hospital Security Department where I work. The badge did not properly list me as a psychologist with a PhD degree. Please know that this was not of my doing, and that I took steps to try and rectify the situation, but without success until this matter came to your attention. Let me explain that myself and 8 other psychologists who work and practice at Banner Hospital and clinics in Tucson were issued incorrect badges that listed us as physicians. I previously appealed to the security department to change my badge to identify me correctly as a psychologist, but was told repeatedly that Banner did not have a category for psychologists, and they had to default to physician as the closest category of employment and profession. Getting this change was made all the more difficult because it happened during a transition period when the security department switched from a local to a centralized system. I was told to come back in September when the system was fully up and running. Hopefully you've had the opportunity to examine the email I provided from Ms. Kemshall, a senior security officer at Banner, as a part of my response that verifies that Banner Security made the mistake and was taking time to review this and other problems at the Banner Hospital facilities. Ms. Kemshall specifically states, and I quote, "My team has been working on the issue as it has a larger impact than just the Tucson South area. It needed correction across the entire system. We are all in agreement that your badge will be printed and delivered first," end quote. I urged Ms. Kemshall to immediately reissue my badge in the category that was correct for psychologists, as well as the other psychology providers who had the same issue. Happily, my colleagues and I now do have the correct badges, and my badge now correctly identifies me as a PhD psychologist. Please let me also mention that during the time I used the incorrect badge, I continuously turned my badge over so as not to misrepresent my credentials. It was simply impossible not to use the badge at all because use of the badge was necessary in order to gain entry into clinics and hospital floors where I work. As I trust you will appreciate, working for the Banner Hospital system is challenging at times because, as with any large organization or bureaucracy, employees are always expected to comply with their policies and procedures. Our APA Code of Ethics recognizes that conflicts may sometimes arise out of these kinds of situations. I believe I properly followed our ethical guidelines, and I respectfully request that the complaint against me be dismissed. Thank you very much for your time and service to our profession in the state of Arizona.
Thank you. Dr. Flowers, do you have any follow-up questions?
I don't think so. I think the licensee acted appropriately, and I know in my career there are times when people assume that I'm a psychiatrist and all kinds of other things because they don't know any better, and it's like an ongoing issue of making sure that it's clear and defining my role over and over again, and not depicting myself as having credentials I don't have. And certainly I don't think that the security department at Banner has attended all the has all the information about who does what. And so it wasn't anything intentionally done by her. It's just she wanted to get in the building and do her job. And she had an ID card that was not done correctly, but not a whole lot she could do. But what she could do, she's done, and it sounds very appropriate. And also her statement was good.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. Do you have any questions of the...
Yes. Dr. Shishlak, thank you for sharing your perspective. The only question I have is, how long did you have the badge, the incorrect badge? When was it first issued to you?
July 1st.
Of this year?
Yeah.
And when did you first address this with the security office?
July 2nd.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Meyer, do you want to follow up with this? Yes, let's see here. We're going to, the committee will now begin deliberation. Please note that deliberation is a time for the committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruptions from complainants, licensees, or attorneys representing licensees. Dr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Donaldson. From my perspective, Dr. Shishlak had an administrative issue come up with her employer. There was a conflict in an ethical issue, which she addressed, continued to work on to resolve it, and after working through the large system, was able to have it remedied, and it sounds like she did everything that she could to be clear on her position and in her attempts to address this. And so I see no ethical violation or concerns here.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes, I concur. I think when you're dealing with a big system, what she did was lightning speed, and I'm actually surprised and pleased that Banner responded quickly. And I agree that there is no violation here.
Dr. Meyer, would you like to make a motion?
I move that complaint number 20-06 be dismissed as there is no evidence of violation of statutes or rules by the licensee.
I second the motion.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed by the same sign? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate that. Anything further you need from us, or may we go ahead and sign off?
You can sign off, I guess.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
The next complaint today is number G-20-01 for Dr. Carol Jernigan. I'm the lead member of this complaint, and we'll provide the committee with an overview of the complaint. The complaint was issued by SM. SM is a former acquaintance of Dr. Jernigan's. It is alleged that Dr. Jernigan claimed to be a licensed psychologist during a 2015 interview with law enforcement that was related to a criminal investigation concerning SM. As a matter of fact, in 2010, Dr. Jernigan obtained a PsyD from Argosy University. According to the records, in 2011 and 2012, Dr. Jernigan was approved to sit for the ETPP, but did not pass. Dr. Jernigan currently provides counseling services at Grossman and Grossman Limited, which is a licensed agency with the Arizona Department of Health Services. The website provides information about Dr. Jernigan's abilities, but does not cite her as being licensed. SM states that during Dr. Jernigan's August 26, 2015 interview with the police, Dr. Jernigan told them that she was a psychologist. Dr. Jernigan issued a complaint through her attorney, Robert Schell, Esquire. Dr. Jernigan was questioned by the detective from the police department, Phoenix Police Department, during an investigation into a criminal harassment charge against SM in August of 2015. During an interview, Dr. Jernigan was discussing SM's behavior with the detective and stated, in psychology, you deal with patients. Dr. Jernigan represents that due to poor audio quality and the speed in which he was speaking, it sounds like psychologists deal with patients. I reviewed that in that information received. There was also a copy of the recording, and I wasn't able to see where that was different than what Dr. Jernigan states. Dr. Jernigan denies ever holding herself out to be a psychologist in her professional or personal life, as she is aware that she would need to complete licensure process with the board in order to do so. There's nothing online on Dr. Jernigan's business cards or anywhere else that states she is a psychologist. This concludes my summary. A request from Dr. Jernigan.
Her attorney, Mr. Chalet, is here present, and I believe the complainant is participating over the phone.
Okay. Mr.
Yeah, my name is Robert Chalet, attorney for Carol Jernigan. Would you like me to speak first, or do you want to speak to the complainant?
It's your choice.
I would check and see if the complainant is present. SM, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would you like to make a statement?
Well, it's just on the recording that I provided, the police recording, she states, and it's like, I quote, "I'm a psychologist," is what she tells the man. And so, I mean, I don't know how you all see that, but I hope you all heard the recording where that's what she says. You know, I've never said anything about anything on business cards or on the website, but that's what she tells the detective, presumably to lend credibility to what the defamatory remarks that she makes about me. So,
SM, is that the entirety of your comments?
Well, she doesn't know. I mean, there's so much that she did guesswork on that. I mean, as far as, it's my understanding, the only thing that you can address is her saying that she's a psychologist. And I hope you've heard the recording where she says that, and you can, you know, I guess judge for yourself how she means the context. And but there's just so many other things that she just flat out makes up about me that she doesn't know. And it's just mind-boggling that I get equated to a sex offender and I have no criminal record. And, I mean, it's all listed in my complaint that just so many things that, and she even doesn't, and that's another thing, she tells the detective that she doesn't want me to hear back about it. Well, of course she doesn't, because what she's doing is wrong. So, you know, the detective doesn't bother to say, oh, well, this has to go into evidence, and then he gets a copy of it, he being me in this. I mean, this harassment complaint, it was all, that was another thing, is that she, Ms. Jernigan, had email from my ex, where my ex says that I'm innocent, and Ms. Jernigan does not bother to tell the police detective in her interview. So, I mean, as I understand, Ms. Jernigan has, her patients are through the corrections department, they're, I guess, adolescent sex offenders, and she's entrusted by the state of Arizona, as I understand, to deal with these patients and to help them. And I mean, her job is to help people in general. And what she said and did to me, just because she was angry with me for pointing out that she was, you know, a rotten friend who wasn't there for me when I was there for her so many times, it's just mind-boggling. She did it to be destructive. She wasn't doing that to help I mean, if she truly had concerns, she would have gone directly to the Phoenix police. But no, as soon as I let her know that she was just basically a rotten friend and was never there for me, you can look at the time indexes on emails or messaging and see that she wasted no time contacting my ex and spilled her guts with everything that I had to say to betray me. It was just a real high school move. It was very petty. I sent information, and I hope you all got a chance to look at it. But it just surprises me because she's entrusted by the state of Arizona, and this is what happened. I mean, I actually at one point I expected her to tell the detective, "Oh, hey, you know, I do my patients are through the state of Arizona, so we're kind of like, you know, on the same team kind of a deal," but that never came up. The recording, she goes up, it says her name is Carol Lee. There's no point does she say that her name is Jernigan. So it's just, where's the real name? Where's the actual name? I had to tell my attorney, I had to go into for one of my hearings, and I had to point out that her name isn't Lee, her name is Jernigan. And then my attorney passed it along to the prosecutors. And this thing all ended with me being not guilty because I didn't do anything wrong. This was all made up. And as I said, Ms. Jernigan had information to prove that as well. And it was just a big fat waste of time just by two people who wanted to be petty.
Okay, SM, could you bring this to a close, please?
I'm sorry. I think that's pretty much it. I'm sorry if I've gone on too long. This is not something I do every day. So I thank you for taking time to hear this.
And thank you. Shelley?
I mean, you summarized our response pretty well. She denies holding herself out as a psychologist. The audio, I mean, I guess it's debatable. It kind of sounds like she said psychologists deal with the patients. But as I said, nowhere in her professional or personal life has she ever held herself out as a psychologist. So we ask that you dismiss the complaint.
Thank you. Dr. Flowers, do you have any questions?
Well, I'd like to ask questions to the complainant and then to the licensee, if that's all right.
Right ahead.
Okay. I guess, SM, you're still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. One thing I'm wondering, it appears that you knew, I guess I should have said licensee, Dr. Jernigan, but... You knew her, I guess, during elementary and junior high and high school kind of thing, right?
We were classmates. We were not, like, pals or anything.
Okay, you knew of each other, but you didn't run around with each other and
that
kind
of correct.
Thing.
That is correct. It wasn't until later on I was getting on Facebook back in, like, I don't guess 2010 and 2011 and... just, you know, finding people I knew, and from then, and, you know, just, I think everyone's done that, and then she was one person that I friended, so.
Okay, that's not unusual, somebody, you know, connecting with your past, those kind of things. At any time, were you in any situation where you were a client of hers in any capacity?
No, I was not, which is why it's strange that she says that in messages with my ex, she says that I'm SMI, and she says she agrees that I am in need of medication. And so it's just like she's not, I mean, I was never her patient. I was not in a clinic with her. I was like, she has no, I mean, does she have a right to make such an assessment about me? So
basically she... somebody you knew that was saying things, and the way you found out was you were given evidence or something from the police who were part of the trial or the court hearing?
Yes, that is correct. Well, like I said, when I got in touch, back in touch with different people on Facebook, she and I became friends, and we got together several times, just going on outings, Renaissance Festival, Zoo, Tempe Art Festival, getting together with other classmates. And at one point, she even, I don't know, I felt that she wanted to date, and I did not want to because she was not a reliable friend. I was going to keep her as a friend, but I didn't want her as someone to go out with. So,
okay, you know, so you did some messaging with each other here and there kind of thing?
Yes, messaging. I mean, when I told her about my problems and the information that I got was from the police department when she messaged with my ex, telling, they were just talking back and forth. You know, it looks like a couple of high school girls talking. I don't know if I've sent information.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I read through it. But I guess it was like part of the evidence that you were dealing with in court, and that's why you were given it?
Yes, that is true. That's correct.
Review. Okay. And it sounds as if you did some socializing with her, but it sounds as if it was kind of like a group of high school friends getting together, acquaintances getting together, like a reunion thing. And I didn't hear that.
Oh, well, we did get together with some other friends, and as well as, I think, what was it, back in 2011 is when she met the woman who would later become my ex. And
Yeah, I did see photo, but it was just a gathering of acquaintances from back in the days. Is what it looked like.
Yeah, but like I said, there were several times when, and we went out, actually, we went out to a nightclub once with some other friends too, and, that would have been the same evening as the photo, so.
Okay, so there was some socializing, but you weren't close friends, didn't date, and you were never a client. I'd say you did, maybe when you communicated by Facebook or whatever, you were just getting opinions from somebody you know that happened to have some training, but you weren't a client.
No, she said, since I was going through tough times with the breakup of my ex and being that my ex was so volatile, Ms. Jernigan agreed to be, and I quote, my support group. She said she would be there for me because there were times when I was there for Ms. Jernigan earlier on when she had her divorce and when she thought she was going to be homeless, and I said she could come stay with me if it came to that. And she was talking about suicide, and I said, you can call me 24/7 if you ever have or feeling bad. There was a time when, when she had her first Valentine's Day as a single person again. She was feeling bad about it and posted across her Facebook page, this year Valentine's Day can suck it. And to make her feel better and being a pal, I was living out of state at the time, but I sent her, a nice box of See's chocolate and a card, wishing her happy Valentine's Day, but it was like plutonically.
Yeah.
So, I'm always trying to be there for her, but, and then she said she would be there for me. And if you listen to the recording with the police, apparently I got to pay her in order to get the same support that I gave her. So,
okay. Well, I guess I appreciate those comments. At some point, if it's, I'll have asked the chairman and also the attorney if we can simply play a segment of that recording during the meeting as well. But I appreciate your comments and clarifying your dealings with her, but it doesn't sound as if it was in a professional capacity that she was working with you or whatever. But I've never been a defendant in a trial, but I'm confident it was very stressful.
I was looking at prison time.
Yeah, but I guess at the end of the the ordeal, it was simply dismissed.
Yes, okay. But when you don't know what someone's going to make up at what time, just invent for the sake of putting you to prison for something that never happened, it's, and like I said, in the recording, she flat out says, I'm a psychologist. So, anyway.
Okay, well, it sounds like it was, you know, quite an incredibly bad ordeal. Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering the questions.
Right, thank you.
Dr. Flowers, do you have any questions of Mr. Shelley?
Oh, yes. I didn't. Okay. I don't know if Dr. Meyer wanted to ask the complainant, but there are some. Let me pull those up here. Actually, it'd be to Dr. Jernigan.
She's not present. I'm representing her, Dr. Flowers.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll ask these. You're maybe at a disadvantage because they're intended for her, but possibly you have the information and you can comment. Do you know what her title is at Grossman & Grossman?
Well, she is currently certified as a sex offender treatment provider. So that's what they refer to her as, which as you know,
okay.
Is not a licensed profession in this state.
Do you know if they have a credentialing process there?
Well, I don't.
Where she works.
I mean, she has the certification. It's through a national program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's a different thing. And do you know if she receives clinical supervision?
No, I don't believe so. I don't think it's required.
Okay. I was going to ask her what the process is getting certified.
It's just a number of classes online.
Okay.
I mean, she has a PsyD, so she has that in her background as well.
Okay. Hey, and I also wanted to ask her, on the website it says that she has a strong testing component. I wanted to ask her about what the tests she provides and that kind of thing.
Dr. Flowers, this is Jean Galvin, and Mr. Shelley is here.
Yes.
Representing the doctor, but I don't want to get in a position where he's testifying as a fact witness.
Okay, yeah, I think that this would have to go to Dr. Jernigan, and so that, you know, I guess he would, it'd be hard for him to speculate, and I guess in some respects these questions would need to be delayed if this complaint goes forward.
Dr. Meyer.
Shelley, do you know if Dr. Jernigan does psychological testing as well?
As Jeannie said, I guess I'm not going to testify to what she does or doesn't in her practice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Okay. I have reviewed.
Yes. Go ahead.
I have reviewed the recording that was in our material, and I have some questions. The next thing we'll do is the committee will begin deliberation. Please note the deliberation is time for the committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruptions from complainants, licensees, or attorneys representing licensees. Since I'm the lead member, I'll take the lead here. As I said, I have reviewed the tape and reviewed it a couple of times to try to identify that Dr. Jernigan did, in fact, make herself out to be a psychologist, and it's not clear there. I think in such an accusation, and based on the tape that was provided us, it was not clear. It just sounded to me like she did say, as she reports here, in psychology you deal with patients or psychologists deal with patients. At no point in that review did I hear her say that she was a psychologist. Dr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there are a couple issues here. One is that both parties are stating that this was a personal relationship, not professional. And I agree with you that on the audio recording, I could not tell if it was psychologist or psychology. I don't think there's sufficient evidence there one way or the other. However, my concern is with the website on page 35, where it gives her description. It states that she brings a strong comprehensive testing component to the agency, multiple cognitive domains, including memory, language, visual spatial functions, executive functioning, as well as providing standardized measures of adaptive functioning abilities and personality testing. Psychological assessment is a protected practice for psychologists only. So I'm concerned that even though she's not saying she's a psychologist, she is practicing psychology. So I have concerns about her practicing unlicensed that would fall under our jurisdiction.
Dr. Flowers.
Yes, thank you. When I listened to the recording, you know, indeed, it's not totally clear what she said to me. When I heard it, it sounded as if she said, if he were my client, he'd have to pay me in psychology or, you know, as a psychologist, as a patient. So, you know, that's concerning, but indeed, he was not a client of hers. They knew each other and shared information with each other. And I don't know that when police talked to her, she was saying, I'm, you know, serving as some kind of an expert witness. She was simply giving information that she knew from her acquaintance with him. But I guess, again, with as Dr. Meyer stated, concern would be, you know, apparently we don't know. I think she would need to attend. She may be providing services that are in the realm of somebody who needs to be licensed, or in her position, she could provide them, but she would need some kind of supervision by somebody who is. And so the psych testing could definitely be in like a practice area of psychology. And so that sounds like a potential violation. And I don't know credentialing-wise how they do things with people who are not licensed. I'm unclear about that. But I think that would be a good thing to talk to her about. But indeed, I think we need more information about the testing aspect that, you know, sounds concerning. So, you know, those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. Based on the complaint, I had a question for our attorney here. The complaint is that she was holding herself out to be a psychologist. That's the basis of this complaint. Is her practicing things that are supposed to be within a licensed psychologist, can that be part of this complaint, or would that be another complaint?
No, you may investigate that as part of this complaint. I understand what you're asking. You may look into that part of it.
I see. Okay.
You can either move it to the full board at this time and ask them to supplement their response addressing the concerns about testing and exams and evaluations, whether she's receiving supervision, the process of credentialing that her organization goes through, or you could table it and ask them to submit supplemental information to you regarding those areas, request her presence at the next CSC meeting, and go from there.
Okay, as a lead on this, I would like to do exactly that, is to table this item and request that Dr. Jernigan present herself here at the next CSC meeting to explain what she really does do in her testing and that kind of stuff, to see if she is in violation of practicing beyond her scope.
In addition to having her appear to answer questions, would you also like a written response explaining what types of evaluations or exams that she gives and the credentialing process her agency uses? I don't know if the terminology is correct, but maybe Dr. Flowers or Dr. Myers could.
Well, yeah, the credentialing process for working there.
Right.
What's needed, and, you know, what little I know about, you know, what I read online, what the credentialing, well, how you get the certification, if anybody with no educational background can just take some classes and then get a certificate, and that's the basis of her credentialing. Certainly, you know, she went to Argosy. You can't get through that without learning some things. You know, it's a very good program, but hard to know. And then, again, what kind of clinical supervision, if any, she has, and by whom, for what she's doing there. And, you know, if she were here, I mean, if she had been on the line, I would have said, please give me a list of tests you give, and so forth. And I'd most likely she did get training for it, but I believe she would need supervision or licensure in order to provide those services. And so those are things, I don't go maybe too much detail, that I think we need to ask her about. The issue about, I'm still concerned about her using the term psychology on the recording, but that is kind of very gray. But what is she currently doing as far as practice is, I think, a higher concern.
Is that adequate information, Dr. Meyer?
So I would second that. Was a motion, that request.
May I say something, please? This is SM.
No, sir, you cannot. This is only time for the board.
I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
And
any further discussion?
Just the staff and Mr. Shelley understands what they're looking for as far as a response.
I've written everything down, so that's we understand exactly what you guys want. And she will be here at the next committee meeting.
And staff can notify you the deadline by which that would have to be submitted.
No problem. That's
contact with Mr. Shelley.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed by the same sign? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I add something? For SM, this means there'll be another review at this level, and he, I believe, will be invited to participate as well. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay.
I was going to ask, would you like to see if I can get a better recording? But she does not say, I'm a psychology. She says, I'm a psychologist. Because that seems to be kind of you said you're not very clear on the recording.
If you want to submit additional information, staff will tell you the deadline by which you have to have that information submitted.
Okay, because I don't understand. It clearly says psychologist. So, okay, I will, I guess I'll visit with them to make that arrangement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This case is number 20-01. Dr. Flowers is the lead on this. Dr. Flowers?
Yes, thank you. The summary of the complaint is as follows. SR said that in 2002, SR divorced her husband, and they share joint custody of their two biological children and their two adopted children. Due to a number of incidents, SR made efforts to protect the adopted daughter through the court system. In April 2015, a social worker was court-appointed to complete a family evaluation. In June 2015, the social worker was appointed by the court as a therapeutic interventionist for the court case. The social worker was employed at Trilogy, and Dr. Huggins served as a social worker supervisor. SR claimed that Dr. Huggins did not provide adequate supervision to the licensed social worker at Trilogy, and that Dr. Huggins failed to provide clinical records despite multiple requests. SR said that she was displeased because the social worker didn't provide the court important information regarding the father. SR said that the social worker claimed that SR alienated the daughter from the father. SR was displeased with the court's decision regarding custody of the daughter and visitation with the daughter. SR made unsuccessful efforts with the social worker and with Dr. Huggins for reunification with the daughter. In January 2016, SR filed a complaint against the social worker with the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners. In March of 2017, the board reviewed SR's complaint against the social worker. The Board of Behavioral Health Examiners submitted a complaint to the Psychology Board regarding Dr. Huggins for allegedly providing, providing inadequate supervision. In January 2019, a consent agreement with the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners for the social worker was finalized and signed. The social worker agreed not to renew her license upon its expiration in April of 2019 and not to submit a new license application for a minimum of 5 years. SR was surprised that the consent agreement did not include SR's complaints about the social worker. In response, Dr. Huggins said at the time SR filed a complaint against the social worker with the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners, the social worker had a license in social work and was an independent subcontractor at Trilogy. Complaint 17-9 was initiated by the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners regarding Dr. Huggins' supervision of social workers' involvement with SR's family. Dr. Huggins stated that the current complaint is essentially the same complaint as 17-19, which was reviewed by the board on December 7, 2018, and resulted in a letter of concern, but no disciplinary action. The consent agreement asked that Dr. Huggins complete some continuing education, and that requirement was completed. In regards to the social worker working at Trilogy, apparently there were several phases of her employment, October 2012 to October 2013. She had a practicum at Trilogy. June 2016 to July 2017, she had an internship at Trilogy. Dr. Huggins notes that the social worker's employment with at Trilogy and her time working with SR and the family occurred from March 2015 to May 2016 and was not part of a practicum or internship at Trilogy. In regards to the social worker's family court work, Dr. Huggins said that the social worker accepted assignments from the Maricopa County Family Court under her LMSW license. Dr. Huggins' name was not included in any appointment order or report that the social worker submitted to the court. Dr. Huggins states that requests for the daughter's, in regards to the request for the daughter's records, that SR misinterpreted a juvenile court order dated November 19th of 2015 that told the counsel for the department to acquire and disclose various medical records to the court system and all parties. The order did not give Dr. Huggins the authority to provide juvenile court records before or after November 19th, 2015. The mother's November 8, 2016 request for the daughter's records was addressed to the social worker, not to Dr. Huggins. Dr. Huggins believes that Trilogy's office had justification not to release the records. Dr. Huggins stated that social worker's consent agreement with the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners was not in relation to SR's complaint, and due to all these factors, Dr. Huggins respectfully requested that the complaint be dismissed. This concludes my summary of the complaint.
Thank you, Dr. Flowers. Yes, sir, are you on the phone?
Yes, this is Sherry Rokas.
Just use your initials, please. SR, just go ahead and offer us your complaints, your comments.
Okay, thank you very much. So, as was mentioned, Selena Hancock was court appointed to my custody case regarding my daughter Brielle 4 years ago, and Nicole Huggins was Hancock's direct supervisor. Hancock, as you mentioned, lost her license in last January because of unethical behavior in my case. Unbelievably, Hancock is still listed as an active employee on Dr. Huggins' website and the court website, even though she does not have a license. After Hancock was sanctioned for unsafe practices and withholding records from me and the board, I repeatedly asked Huggins to have Hancock taken off my case. Huggins told me by email that she and Hancock had repeatedly petitioned the court to have Hancock removed, but their petitions were denied by the judge. Months later, I called the court and learned that Huggins had never actually petitioned the court on my behalf. It appears that she blatantly lied about this, and I believed her. The repeated pattern of unethical behavior from Nicole Huggins is unconscionable. After Hancock was sanctioned, I went for over a year with a therapeutic intervention who refused to speak to me because she was appealing the board's sanctioning, and she refused to withdraw from my case. I know of 5 other families who have also filed complaints against Hancock, and Huggins was their supervisor as well. Huggins turned a blind eye to all of them and continued to take money from these families. My ex and I paid Hancock at least $12,000, and not one time in 3 years was I allowed to see my child. Unbelievably, I found out that Huggins had allowed Hancock to drive my daughter Brielle by car from Arizona to a treatment center in San Diego and then charged me for her travel expenses. My daughter Brielle is now 18 and has been so brainwashed by her father and the negative influence of Huggins and Hancock that she wants nothing to do with me. The damage inflicted by Dr. Huggins may be irreparable. I am a joint custodial parent. I'm an educator. I work for the school system. I have no criminal past. I've never used drugs or alcohol. And 4 years ago, my 14-year-old daughter was dealing with some very serious mental health issues. Her life was endangered when her father took her on a dangerous high-speed police chase. He was arrested and now has a criminal record. This incident was hidden from me. I found out 2 months later when my daughter said she felt unsafe with her father. I called the police to do a safety check, and they told me that my ex was being criminally investigated for a felony and child endangerment. They also gave me other police report numbers regarding my ex-husband that I should look into, to which all of this was completely shocking. I went to the courts for help in protecting my daughter. Selena Hancock was appointed to my case with Dr. Huggins as her supervisor. In your earlier statement made to me, it appears that Huggins didn't think she was my supervisor yet. Throughout the last 4 years, I have continued to email her, and she has continued to tell me in emails that she has looked into Selena's behavior, she's overseen her behavior, and has continued to say that she has done nothing unethical, even after Selena was severely sanctioned by the state board for withholding records from me and the state board of Arizona. My daughter was only in DCS custody for 9 months. Before and after that period, she was in family court custody, and the state board of Arizona deemed that I was entitled to all of those other records, as well as the board. To this date, I still have seen no records. I actually believe that there are none, but maybe there are. From the statement you just gave me, it said that there are records, and it sounds like they have been intentionally withheld. After I went to Hancock, with my concerns about my daughter's safety for her life and my ex-husband's newfound criminal record and being charged with a felony, Hancock did an evaluation and produced a brief summary of findings to the court. Unbelievably, her conclusion was that the felony and child endangerments charged against my ex-husband were totally justifiable, and that Brielle should live with her father after she received treatment, and she gave no evidence to support this decision. And to this day, I have never seen an actual custody evaluation that gives any reasons to justify this decision. Hancock also said that I would only ever be granted supervised visits with my daughter after she had been stable for 6 months and the family had all completed therapy through Touchstone Family Therapy. Over the next 3 years, I repeatedly asked Hancock and Huggins to participate in this therapy after my daughter was stable, but my request was denied for 3 years. Not one time was there any effort made, or was I allowed to see my daughter after doing everything I knew how to do and was asked to do. In emails, I was accused by Huggins of not completing the court-ordered therapy that, ironically, Ms. Hancock would never allow and neither of them would facilitate. My daughter, Brielle, was sent by Hancock to two different treatment centers.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Can you please refrain from referring to your daughter by her name? Use initials, please.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you. My daughter was sent by Hancock to two different treatment centers where my daughter repeatedly asked to have contact with me, and I only learned this from later gaining access to all of the therapy notes from these two treatment centers. My daughter was told that it was illegal for her to talk to her mother. I also later learned from these treatment center notes, not from a live person, that my daughter was so distraught from the loss of having her mother stripped from her life that she had attempted suicide in the facility. This information was kept secret from me by Hancock and Huggins. The shock and horror of the things that I have uncovered and dealt with in the last 4 years is almost indescribable and unbelievable. 3 years ago, I sent Huggins a binder full of Hancock's unethical behaviors regarding me and my daughter. In the spring of 2015, I told Huggins in a phone call that I would not turn her in to your board if she would address my concerns. She threatened me and told me that if I did turn her in and the board ruled in her favor, she would go after me for her attorney's fees. Later, Huggins sent me an email saying that she had reviewed my documents and Hancock had done nothing wrong. 4 months into the case, I was stunned to learn by mail that Hancock had falsified records to file a dependency, claiming that the only way to get my daughter's treatment paid for was through a state dependency, even though I had insurance. Yes? Hancock accused me in this dependency of abandoning and neglecting my child. I was subjected to a DCS investigation, which proved me innocent. I've never abandoned or neglected my child, ever. During the 9 months Brielle was in DCS custody, I flew back and forth from Oregon for every single hearing. And during the six weeks that Hancock was doing her custody evaluation, I moved to Arizona temporarily. I lived in the Ronald McDonald House to have counseling with my daughter, who at that point refused to see her father. She was so terrified from the high-speed police chase. And then you can imagine me going to court and hearing that I will never again be allowed to visit my daughter without supervision.
SR,
the whole thing
SR?
Is so...
SR?
Yes.
Would you please summarize your comments,
yes.
please? Thank you.
Yes, I will. It appears that Nicole Huggins has purposefully encouraged a complete severing of a mother-daughter relationship. Hancock would go months at a time without responding to me. I have appealed to Huggins over and over and over again to see my daughter with a willingness to complete any requirements, but they were continually denied. I'm appealing to your board because the damage that this woman has done in her failure to supervise Selena Hancock is unconscionable. And I'm stunned to realize that professionals will use their power to absolutely destroy families. And so I am begging you to take this this complaint seriously. I used to believe that in America, a parent had to do something seriously wrong to lose their child. I have done nothing wrong. There is no evidence to support me doing anything that would take my child away from me permanently. I was not allowed to even send her letters, and found out later that letters that I had sent were not given to my daughter. And no, not even supervised visitation. So I just plead with you to look at this case very, very seriously, and consider what Nicole Huggins, her lack of supervision, and her just undying support of this woman in claiming over and over and over that she has done nothing wrong, when the State Board of Arizona sanctioned her in 9 different areas for unethical behavior. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Flowers, do you have any questions of SR?
Yes. SR, thank you for attending the meeting today.
Looking through
all the paperwork, it's clear that you've gone through a lot, to say the least, over the last years. I'm wondering, in regards to the complaint you made with the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners, did they provide you a disposition of your specific complaint?
Can you clarify what you mean?
Yeah, let me interpret it.
Thank you.
Yeah, like our board's here, you know, the psychology board.
Yes.
You know, at the end of our meeting today, we'll, you know, make a disposition, a recommendation that to go forward, those kind of things. And then finally, you know, depending on how far it goes, then the board typically will dismiss it, have a finding about, you know, wrongdoing, whatever, violations of statute. With the one that you did with the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners, I'm not clear what that disposition was for the complaint that you made.
Okay. Thank you. I understand now. So they, Ms. Hancock appealed their decision, and their decision that was that she would lose her license and not be able to reapply for another license for 5 years. Hancock appealed this decision, and over the next 2 years was still continuing to practice. I finally sent a letter to the state attorney general expressing my concern that this woman had been sanctioned to not have her license. The state board mandated that within, I believe, 60 or 90 days, there had to be an appeals hearing, and there wasn't for almost 2 years. And it was interesting that after I wrote a letter to the state attorney general, that about 6 weeks after that, I received a letter in the mail stating that Ms. Hancock had voluntarily surrendered her license because she doesn't need it anymore. She has now completed coursework to become a psychologist, and her intention is now to become a psychologist. And so she simply doesn't need her social work license anymore.
Okay, still, with all of this, it doesn't sound again, I'm not on the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners, but different levels of committee hearings can make recommendations for further review by the full board, and then there are appeals within the system for different things, but eventually right. there is a disposition, and it's not clear if you were given one. I mean, because she could have been, her license may have been surrendered due to other allegations, and you know, unrelated to yours, or maybe due to yours, but I, you know, what I read.
Well, it was due to mine and one other gentleman, but in the final court disposition that came out, they mostly mentioned the other case, which made it look like she simply had a problem with paperwork. And I asked the state board attorney why the details of my case was not listed in that final document. And he said, well, legally, we only had to list one. But okay. she yeah, was exactly. sanctioned in my case. Okay. And I have sent those records in. She was okay. sanctioned in my case as with unsafe practices, failure to turn in paperwork to me, to records to me, and to the state board. The state board repeatedly requested the records of my daughter's case, and Ms. Hancock had all sorts of reasons why she didn't. And then Ms. Huggins continued to say that the DCS judge ordered that the paperwork not be released, which, and the opposite was true. The DCS order stated that all records be dispersed to all parties, and there was never another order from anyone saying that the records should not be dispersed, which the state board agreed with. She was sanctioned for withholding records and for unsafe practices.
Okay, I guess, when we have the discussion among the committee members, I can ask board staff for additional details on that. It sounds if you dealt with many different people and different aspects of the government and agencies.
Trying to get some help, trying to get anyone to listen to me, anyone.
Okay. Did you, in regards to the record, you know, at one point I saw in the documentation that the records were to be given to somebody with a designation of counsel for the department, but...
Yes, I was given all DCS records for that 9-month period of time.
Through that
Through
person.
DCS.
Okay.
Through the appointed juvenile court attorney.
Okay.
She was able to obtain those records for that 9-month period of time, but there's over 3.5 years that Ms. Hancock was appointed to my case, and I only have records from 9 months of that time period. All of the other records supposedly don't exist, or we don't know
okay.
where they are.
Okay.
And the state board determined that they should be turned... It is illegal to withhold records, and the state board determined that. And that's what Hancock did, and Ms. Huggins continued to uphold her her in being unethical.
Okay, just one other question here. Within the court records, did it ever state that, you know, you by name or that the mother may have the records? Or was it like this thing about counsel for the department and that kind of thing?
It said all records be dispersed to all parties.
Okay. I'm not an attorney. Sometimes parties can have definitions that are unique and may not include but I'm not an attorney. I wasn't there to ask. But thank you for coming, and I appreciate your responses.
So if I can just say this. The department attorney, the juvenile attorney, followed through on that order and obtained the records for me. The parents were entitled to those records.
Okay. And it sounded like in that way you did receive at least some.
For 9 months, but,
okay.
You know, I've never even seen a custody evaluation. I don't know how someone, Ms. Hancock turned in 2.5 pages to the court. That was her brief summary of findings and accused me of things with no evidence to back up anything she had to say and took away my child. And Dr. Huggins has never attempted to reunify me with my daughter. I now have PTSD because of this. I have been dealing with basically the legal kidnapping of my child. How does this happen in America? Please consider what has happened in this case and take it seriously. The damage this woman has done to me and other families is unbelievable.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, may I provide some clarification?
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Michelson.
Yes, this is Jennifer Michelson. So I previously did work for the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners. I can't speak on behalf of that board, but I can provide some clarification as to the summary of events that occurred. As SR indicated, she did previously file a complaint with BBHE. Initially, when they reviewed that case, they did offer Ms. Hancock a disciplinary consent agreement. As time went on, the board, BBHE ultimately rescinded their motion and dismissed that complaint. They did offer Ms. Hancock a consent agreement unrelated to this case for a separate matter, which she signed. So I just want to clarify that that board ultimately did dismiss the case. But the one thing I think that's important to note to perhaps might provide some clarification, when BBHE had initially reviewed SR's complaint, they did refer the matter to our board here, and we did review this matter regards to concerns surrounding Dr. Huggins' supervision of Ms. Hancock. I believe in December of 2018, this board did issue Dr. Huggins a non-disciplinary letter of concern and order for education, which she had completed. So SR's complaint is similar in nature to the one that BBHE had sent to us. However, there are some additional allegations concerning allegations of failing to provide records. So some of the allegations, particularly the lack of supervision issue, this board has looked at last year. So I just wanted to provide some clarification on that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dr. Flowers, did you have any other questions?
Not for the complainant. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Myers?
No questions.
No questions. Okay. Dr. Higgins?
Good morning.
Good morning. Any comments?
Yes, and thank you for the opportunity, and I apologize for my eye. This started last night. I have no idea what's going on, but next, so I'll address that later with an ophthalmologist.
Thank you for being here.
It's my understanding, and thank you, Ms. Michelson, for that summary so that I don't have to reiterate it here, but it's also my understanding that this current complaint by SR is identical to the one that was issued by the Board of Behavioral Health Examiners last year or in 2017, but concluded in 2018, that resulted in that letter of concern. And within even that complaint, records was an issue. At the screening committee, I was questioned extensively by Dr. Bohansky about it and subpoenas, et cetera. Those were all answered. It was forwarded to the board where it was questioned again. But as you know, that file is very extensive. And within the evidence that we provided in my defense, it was noted in there that all records were provided when requested and as appropriate, whether by subpoena or through family court. And the order that keeps being referenced issued by Judge Coffey was a dependency court hearing, and the wording states department's counsel or agents for the department will obtain all records from providers and provide it to all parties' counsel. We complied with the order, meaning Dr. Hancock had complied with the order, and there's been never a time that we withheld records from any of her involvement with the family court case. to address much of what was stated by SR on the phone today, and it was determined when the Board of Behavioral Health issued the same concerns about supervision. I was only a direct supervisor. I was never court appointed to this case. I had no authority or control over the direction of the case. I had no authority to even make a request to ask that Dr. Hancock be removed. I simply reported back as customer service and as a direct supervisor of Dr. Hancock, being a subcontractor independently providing these services through the Family Court's behavioral health roster, which does not require supervision of the provider. I would respond to any and all requests, phone calls, emails, anything made by SR. And I did my due diligence in ensuring that everything was complied with as far as her involvement, meaning Dr. Hancock's involvement in the case and how she was conducting herself professionally, but I had no clinical supervision of her. Even reference to the, I want to quote, custody evaluation, again, we proved back in the BBHE's complaint that that was provided. There's all that evidence is there. That just, that file is just so extensive. It's too much to get into with this, but to address this current complaint, it's from what I have understood from the investigative report that the main concern is the lack of supervision. I was found to be only a direct supervisor previously. I had no other authority to do or address or change or even, I don't control any of some of her other stressors that were going on as part of her involvement in the family court system or even the dependency court system. Ms. Michelson addressed it. Ultimately, my understanding is that the BBHE complaint SR made against Dr. Hancock was dismissed and is not part of her consent agreement. Her license was not stripped from her. That was just part of the agreement. She would not renew it when it expired. I do not employ Dr. Hancock as a social worker. There is a website issue that we started a new website in February of this year. My admin assistant who was working on it went on maternity leave late March, was to return in May, and therefore LMSW is still there. The L needs to be dropped. She's listed as a provider, but she's only currently doing a postdoc residency through the consortium in school psychology in which she earned her PsyD. I am her secondary supervisor. Dr. Stabert is her first, but I'm qualified to supervisor in that arena as I am a certified school psychologist as well as a licensed psychologist, and I have been working in the school system since 2000. So there's not an issue of supervision with regard to that, but she's the website issue I have no access to because my admin assistant returning in May never returned, subsequently moved in June to Louisiana, and could not provide me with the password, and I've been diligently working with GoDaddy on trying to get that issue resolved, and right now it's still sitting on a changeupdate.com work order that they have to go somehow in through a back door for me to gain account management again, is what he called it. But everything I provide them, they know it's me, they know it's my account, but since I can't provide a credit card number that doesn't exist anymore because of fraudulent activity a couple of months ago, they can't do it, and I had to go the long way through submitting the work orders. So that's still in the process. But you can see by looking at it, it clearly is a website under construction. And there are so many things on there that need to be changed. I just can't do it yet because I can't access it. So that's worked on. It's being worked on. So I am doing due diligence in that area as well. And I hope I covered everything, but I can also answer every question. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Meyer, questions?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Huggins. So you're currently supervising Ms. Hancock?
Dr. Hancock in a school psychology postdoctoral residency, which she's ending this month. Sorry, through the consortium.
Okay.
She's not providing any social work services. She's not providing any family court, even though I believe she is still listed on there, but she's not providing, we don't take referrals for those. We haven't been ordered to family court stuff in I don't know how long.
And previously, you were supervising her for a practicum and an internship, but then also separately contracted with her?
No. Her practicum was 2012. Her internship was post-SR's involvement. Between that, while she was still in course study at Argosy, for income, she was 1099 subcontracted on the family court roster. So she could provide services, which for which I didn't have to clinically supervise, only directly supervise, because she was independently practicing in that field, which the requirements don't require clinical supervision, and she was never seeking clinical supervision or clinical licensure through the Board of Behavioral Health.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Galvin, can I ask you a question? So the topics here were addressed by the previous review of the board in 2018. Is there such a thing as double jeopardy? Or
would you care to receive legal advice in executive session?
Yes, please.
Is there a motion to that effect?
I so motion.
Is there a second? And then a vote?
All in favor, motion say aye.
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 Opposed by the same sign? Motion carries.
So, Dr. Flowers, you've been provided a number to call back in executive session, and we'll go ask Dr. Huggins to take your things and step out, and then we will come and get you when executive session has concluded.
Can I leave it?